The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. I think we need to talk about this thing that happened in Ferguson, or at least the root causes. I think bottom line, I think we need to establish something for our listeners. For a fact, racism exists in America. Racism exists in the white population. And races are found in every walk of life in America. So it's no surprise that you're going to have a few racists in police departments. But that is only half the problem. Because as I see it, what happened to Michael Brown in Ferguson is a prime example. Not saying that the cop was racist, but the other half of the problem, we have a young man engaged in criminal activity, and after he engaged in criminal activity, instead of keeping a low profile, he chose to walk down the street, cause and bring unwanted attention upon himself with tragic results. And I think that the people out there marching in the street are not only dealing with half of the problem. The other half of the problem that I think is even more significant than a few racist cops and departments across the country is the attitudes in the black community that result in the behavior that bring the police to the black community in numbers that far exceeds our numbers in the general population. And I think that is the other half of the problem that is not being addressed.
Well, let me just say this. I have a problem with the term half, because first of all, I'm a firm believer, and I know that racism is not even half of the problem. So I just want to kind of, me personally, I refuse to use half of the problem.
But we can argue about the percentage.
Yeah. But really, racism is very, very, very minute and powerless in this country.
Unless you give it power.
Now, and okay, exactly. Now, when we say that racism is half the problem, I refuse to say that because we give validity to people like Jackson and Sharpton, who are race baiters. And if they can at least convince America that racism is half the problem, that's all they need to do. Then they can continue on doing just exactly what they're doing, and that's race baiting, that's stirring the pot. And the problem is, I'm tired of hearing people saying things like, we need to have dialogue about race. We need to have conversations about race. No, we don't need to have conversations or dialogue about race. That's absolute bullshit. The type of dialogue and conversations that we need to have is about parents being parents.
Absolutely.
Keeping their kids in check. Managing their households and their communities, looking out for other people in the community, talking to other people's kids in the communities, make sure your kids go to school and stay out of trouble. Those are types of conversations that we need to have, because if that conversation was had in Ferguson that morning, if his parents had had that conversation with him, he wouldn't have gone out and done the things that he did that morning that eventually led to him being killed.
But at 18, I think it's kind of too late to have that talk. They should have had that talk 10 years before.
No, I agree. They should have had that talk 16 years before and every year thereafter.
Absolutely.
You know, but even at 18, it's not too late, but it's unfortunate, which we now see that obviously those types of conversations were not happening in that household. And at the end of the day, people want to run from the fact that ultimately the people to blame are the parents and him himself.
Absolutely. And that's what I wanted to get at. You hit the nail right on the head. What's not being taught in the black community is what's not being stressed, what's not being reinforced, is that you are the master of your own destiny. And if you choose to follow the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, and if you take the attitude that racism controls your life, racism controls your destiny, then you're not going to accomplish very much in your life. Because for a fact, you see other people, and up to the President of the United States, who were raised in a so-called racist society, who overcame racism, who accomplished great things in their life. And it's not just the president, there are CEOs, there are doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers, black people in all walks of life who grew up in this society, who did not let racism determine their destiny, their life, what they accomplished while they're on this earth. And so that's why I'm saying perhaps a half is overdoing it, but there is a problem. And I think the problem is exacerbated by the behaviors that come out of the black community. Say, for instance, you have a police department and, I don't know, 1 or 2% of the cops have racist leanings or feelings of superiority. Well, they who they are, they're not going to change. You're not going to change them. They know who they are. They know how they feel about black people. But it's the black people who bring them into the community. They respond to calls for assistance.
Black communities.
They respond to 911.
They require more policing.
Absolutely.
Than other communities because of the crime rate, because of the behavior and the activity that takes place in the community.
Absolutely.
See, me and you are smart enough to understand that and accept that, in spite of the fact that it kind of points the finger back at us. These race baiters like Sharpton and Jackson, they have no interest in accepting responsibility for the ills that we have in the black community, because if they do that, that in effect puts them out of business. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're unwilling to take the leap and do that also because it's a more difficult thing to be able to embrace that reality and still make a dollar.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because now you can't impress white guilt upon the local government, the state government, the federal government, and convince them that they need to do something. You see, there's no money to be made in doing the right thing.
Or saying the right thing.
Or saying the right thing.
Because what I hear coming out of their mouths is not what I think black people need to hear. They don't need to hear racism is this big bad boogeyman that's keeping you down. They need to hear racism, yes, exists, but if you are diligent enough, if you do enough of the right things and minimize the self-destructive behavior, that you can accomplish whatever you want in this society. And we have ample examples of that. Now, take you and me. I don't know. Have you ever been arrested?
Yes.
You ever been to prison?
No.
Okay. I'm in my 60s. You're in your 40s. That's a total of 100 years, man years, in this society. Never been to prison. But there are people out there who go to prison on a regular basis. It's like a revolving door. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference?
The difference is decisions that you make. That's what it boils down to.
Absolutely.
It is about the decisions that you make. Let me say this. The black community is desperate. The black community has to be desperate for a solution. And the reason why I can tell you that they're desperate, because anytime you will accept individuals like Sharpton and Jackson, who have a racist history, have all the trouble that they have in their past, anytime you can accept them as your leaders, you have to be troubled. Because there are alternatives out here, like Dr. Ben Carson. I'm talking about outstanding alternatives like that gentleman. But yet we would choose to follow, to align ourselves behind a Sharpton or a Jackson.
Well,
we're desperate.
I agree that they are not, in my estimation, anywhere near the stature of a Martin Luther King or any of the other civil rights pioneers. Because I think pretty much they're out for their own gain, and they're just using the black struggle. But I think it goes deeper than that. And I think one of the problems is the attitudes in the black community. Say, for instance, if a black man wants to be a cop, there are a lot of black people who would consider him Uncle Tom, a traitor, or whatever else.
Or agent of the white man or the staff.
Absolutely. a tool of the white man.
Well, let me say
this. But that's what we need. We need more black cops. We need more black judges. We need more black people in the system.
I would argue that we don't. We don't need more black cops. Just listen, hear me out. We don't need more black cops. We don't need more black judges. We don't need more black people in the justice system. What we need is more black individuals, more black citizens that will respect the cops, that will respect the justice system, that will avoid the cops, and that will avoid the justice system.
I agree with that.
Now, see, we only have a problem because we're under this impression, which is fraudulent. We're under this impression that the justice system, the cops, and everybody involved in the justice system are out to get us. We have been thoroughly convinced of that. That's the problem. So I want to back that whole thing up and make it clear. No, we don't need more black cops. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. There would not be an issue about more black cops in Ferguson had that guy not gone out and done what he did that day.
That's true.
If I was sitting in that car, if Louis Farrakhan was a black cop and that guy reached in that car to try and take his gun and to try and bring harm to him, Louis Farrakhan would have gone into survival mode and shot his ass. You hear me?
That's
so
true.
When they get to talking this stuff, it's a bunch of bullshit.
But this is what I'm seeing. Taking the situation as it is now, which is not going to change in the near future, if, in fact, we have more 911 calls from the black community, it would behoove us to produce enough or more black cops to respond to those calls. If, indeed, there is a problem with racism within a police department, then it makes sense to me that we have enough black cops to service the black community. Then you eliminate that friction, that potential.
Let me say this. Obama loves to play absolute ruler. He loves to play this role, absolute ruler. Well, he's decided, you know what, I'm going to mandate that every cop has a body camera on. Okay? And because he liberals let him get away with it, okay?
But that's the problem. They have an on-off button, so I don't see that as an answer.
But let me go even bigger. I tell you what he could have did. If he wanted to mandate something, instead of mandating that, why don't you mandate that the school system, K through 12, teach a course called How to Respect Authority, why you should respect the police, how you should interact with the police.
Mm-hmm.
That would have more of an effect than putting a body camera. Let me tell you what the body camera is going to prove. They're going to prove that these cops are not racist and that these cops are defending their lives. So I don't like that he just had this sweeping mandate. We're going to do this because he thinks he's running stuff and he really isn't. The thing I do like about it is that, you know what, this is going to show what's really going on. Hopefully we'll get some situations where this is going to show what really went. I would have loved for that officer had a body camera in Ferguson. That would have been wonderful. So we can turn around and see, look, we told you.
Well, you know, they have tested them in several cities in California, and they have the results indicate that when body cams are used, the friction goes way down between police and minority citizens. Because, number one, the minority citizens know their own camera.
Yeah.
So they're not going to have their side. Cameras don't lie.
And the cop knows he's under the microscope.
Absolutely.
Let's kind of shift over and talk about how blacks devalue black life and how we kill one another.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis. And this past weekend in Chicago, I believe it was like 32 blacks killed, but silence.
Right. If you are an officer and you see the wholesale killing that goes on, perhaps you might get the impression that
it's okay.
These people don't value their lives. So if they don't value their lives, why should you value their lives more than they do?
No, I don't think that people think that way from the standpoint of...
I think there are some that might.
I'm going to help you. Let me help you with this because I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm going to put myself in that role as an officer working in one of these communities where they have, as you described it, wholesale killings happening on a regular basis. It's going to be evident to me that they don't really value their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that tells me it's okay for me to devalue their lives as far as, you know, I'm going to just shoot somebody randomly or something like that. But what I'm saying is, if I'm in a situation where it's me or them, I'm not going to hesitate. You're not going to hesitate. I don't know anybody's going to hesitate unless you're an absolute fool.
Absolutely.
Because I'd rather go home and explain why I killed him than have him go to court and explain why he killed me. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I see your point, and I agree with it. But the thing I'm seeing in this is human nature. We assign value to ourselves by our actions, by what we accomplish, how we treat each other, what we think of each other. And there are a lot of aspects of life in the Black community, rap music, the crime rate, that tends to indicate we don't value ourselves.
We have no value.
And if, unfortunately, the media sort of accentuates this, and they fixate on it, and they give the impression that the entire Black community is that way. And I think that it does affect the way some white cops view us and how they police us. When you look at the news, most of the time all you see is the negative aspects of the Black community.
Right.
They don't give equal billing to the successes.
Well, let's say this. I'm going to run down a few things right quick. You talk about the news and the news, what aspect of Black life they show. Mm-hmm. And as you know, you got your sensationalism. They're going to show that. It's a good rating for them. But let's look at who controls the news. Liberals. ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. And I remember back in the 80s when Blacks were constantly complaining about how they're portrayed in the media. Well, hey, Black people, liberal Democrats control the media, okay? That's one, a strike one. So I'm trying to take Black people somewhere so they can understand who really is a problem. You go to all your major urban cities. You got these urban jungles, these urban plantations that they're more than happy to keep you residing on, and they only need you on election day, and they call you out then, mobilize you with the race card. Guess who runs all of these urban jungles, all these urban cities in America?
Yeah.
Liberal Democrats.
That's
keep voting for them. So you watch their media outlets, and they pay for those with commercials. You vote for them in these major urban areas. And so the point I'm trying to make is you need to go and march on City Hall and the Democrat headquarters in your city, because those are the people who you need to be complaining to because they run your city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't understand this marching and burning your community. I want to go out to Ferguson and tell them, hey, go downtown to St. Louis County and burn up the Democrat Democrat headquarters there in town.
That's who's
running you.
But that's after they stop at the Board of Elections to register to vote. Because
I don't want them voting yet.
They have the numbers. They have the numbers. Okay, if they were registering in the numbers,
hey, let's not
commensurate
talk about
with their.
But they were going to vote the wrong way anyway. They're going to vote for these very people.
Perhaps, but at least they have some say in what goes in that
city. Well, we know that 93% to 97% of the time they vote Democrat.
True.
And they're under the thumb of the Democrat Party in these major urban areas.
At least they wouldn't have the excuse that it's the man keeping them down, because they would have chose who
choosing. When they do vote, that's who they're choosing. And I want to tell you Black people out there, any Black person might listen to this, if you're currently voting Democrat, you are a fool. Okay? And if you have any problems with me saying that, you know how to get a hold of me via this radio show. You can send me messages, whatever. You are an absolute fool, because you people continue to vote for the very people that are more than happy to keep you impoverished, more than happy to keep you living in high crime and in these urban environments that are not conducive to families and people moving forward.
I just want to piggyback on something you just said, just, you know, as we wrap this up. Even when it comes to the way the Black community is covered by the news, for a fact, if you don't give them the stories, they can't report the stories.
Absolutely.
If you're not killing each other, if you're not selling drugs, dragging your community down, if you're not doing all these self-destructive things, the news can't report that. I don't care if it's
liberal
press.
And the police can't arrest you.
Absolutely. It really comes down to that. And that's why I'm saying the half of the problem that's the most influential half is not being addressed. It's not being addressed by the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, or even the Obamas. And it's not being addressed by the people themselves who are out there in the street burning and looting and screaming about injustice. But they are the ones who create the atmosphere for that injustice.
Let me say this in closing. New York City, the gentleman that died there when he was being arrested. This is how Black people have got to start to dig deeper and go beyond the surface. On the surface, they're saying, well, these white cops, he was unarmed and they strangled him. Well, they actually didn't strangle him. And he died because of these racist white cops. Okay, no, let me tell you why he died. Because the Democrat Party is in power in New York, And because they tax the hell out of you on these cigarettes, it's advantageous for people like that gentleman to stand out on the corner and supplement his income selling cigarettes, okay? Yeah. So if the Democrats were not so greedy and did not add over $6 per pack of cigarette in taxes, it would not be advantageous for this gentleman and gentlemen like him to stand out on that corner selling these cigarettes in order to supplement their income. And, you know, I don't know for sure, but from the looks of this gentleman, he wasn't too happy. He was probably eating a very, you know, a high-fat fast food. He was probably consuming a lot of fast food and things of that nature. And not to be derogatory towards him or anything like that, but, I just want to make that point because, you know, which he actually died of a heart attack.
But also the man had been arrested 36 times. Don't you think maybe the fifth or sixth time you might have come to the conclusion – you're not suited for a life of crime, then maybe you ought to do something different, a little more safer, a little
Absolutely.
More productive. That's the part that bothers me. It's most of these guys, when they do wind up in situations like that, it's because they were involved in criminal activity, because they put themselves in harm's way.
Let me play the role of race baiter. I'm going to be a race baiter right now, okay? Let me tell you in effect what happened in New York. De Blasio and the Democrat establishment said, hey, we're not getting our money on these cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So De Blasio and the Democrat establishment instructs the police commissioner to operate these task force that are responsible for going out, cracking down on people in order to get this money, get this tax money, recover this tax
for
money
cigarettes.
For these cigarettes. Now, hold on, wait, listen. But now, here's the race. I want to be racist here as possible. I want to be a race baiter. So listen to me, black people. The Democrat establishment is in effect saying, let's go out here and crack these niggas upside their head because we ain't getting our tax dollars because they're out here selling these Lucy's. That's what the hell is going on. And let me restate that. The Democrat establishment is saying, these niggas ain't giving us our tax dollars, our tax money. So y'all go out here and you jump out of your cars and you crack these niggas upside the head. I want my money. That's what the Democrat Party establishment is saying.
But at the same time, we have a heroin epidemic.
Exactly.
Crack is still a problem.
Exactly.
All kinds of illegal drugs.
Exactly.
Those cops are out there chasing down people who are selling cigarettes.
Right.
When we have all these illegal drugs, that's a huge problem in our communities that are destroying people's lives.
I don't give a damn about somebody selling Lucy's. If I was a cop, I would have pulled up. I'd have walked up to him and said, look, man, I'm about to go in the store and get me a soda or a juice or something. I know you're selling Lucy's. I really don't care. And I'm not going to waste my time with you on Lucy's. So while I'm getting my drink, from the time it takes me to get my drink, get back in my car and go on the street, don't make it so obvious.
Right. There's a heroin dealer that needs to be
exactly
arrested down there. Probably around the corner. Maybe even on the same corner. I agree.
And by the way, let me throw this in there, too.
He had a responsibility.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been there.
It is against the law.
Right, I get that.
He should have been doing something.
But let me say this, another message note to black people. It is us conservatives, us Republicans, us Tea Partiers that want to reduce taxes. It is the Democrat Party that wants to increase taxes. When you increase taxes, who does it hurt? It hurts poor people. Okay? Remember that. We want to decrease taxes. Democrats want to increase taxes. I just want to leave you all with that.
So in closing, you're saying that the Liberal Democratic Party and establishment is a big part of the other half of the problem.
You're damn right.
Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we can be proud of.